Acknowledge me!
Hello and welcome to Creative Control, the entertainment podcast. We're back for another episode of The Squared Circle, where we cover WWE wrestling. And today we're going to be talking about the road to WrestleMania. Joining me on today's podcast, we have, as ever present, Neil. We also have Ryan and Rax from the Creative Control team. And I'd like to welcome, first time to the show in all its formats, from That Superhero Podcast, we have Nick. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely welcome. I think we've been doing this podcast for 3 years. I think you're only maybe the second or third guest. So,
oh, really?
Amazing. We tend to keep it in-house. And we
definitely love to have... not the first, but we'll take it. We'll take number two.
Yeah, I apologize.
We'll take the world heavyweight title.
Wrestling, the first on the Squared Circle podcast. So you are going to be the first on this. And it's great to have guests, you know, because it's you get different opinions, you get different voices, and it's where we make friends.
Exactly.
So Nick, do you want to tell us a little bit about the podcast you've been involved in?
It's kind of on a bit of an extended hiatus at the moment. I think the last episode we released was October, but I'm sure it'll be back at some point when Marvel pull the finger out. So basically, it's That Superhero Thing podcast. We have been going for a couple of years now, and it's pretty much just reviewing all the latest superhero-ish content. So it started off just being MCU, and then obviously it's sort of elaborated into things like, you know, a bit of DC, a bit of Star Wars, a few horror films I think we've done in there as well. As I said, it's on a bit of a break because Marvel's needs to take a little bit of a break, but we'll get back when they get back to it, basically.
Okay, when you're ready to talk.
When we're ready to talk good Marvel. Yeah,
exactly. Once the product piques that interest. I saw exactly. Neil's interest peak there when you mentioned horror, because Neil is our resident horror fan.
Oh, amazing.
Movies,
okay.
So yeah,
cracking.
But no, it's great to have you on the show. And when I first announced on Twitter that we were going to do this wrestling version of our podcast, Nick reached out to me on Twitter and said, I want to speak about wrestling.
Please
come
let me
on the
talk
show.
To somebody about wrestling.
Yeah, can I talk to somebody about wrestling? I was like, yeah, this is the group. You're in a safe space. We are here to talk about the road to WrestleMania. So we're going to cover a little bit off from our last podcast where we talked about the Elimination Chamber. So we're going to go through what our predictions resulted in and how that kind of turned out and the matches that have kind of been set up from that. And then we're going to kind of have a look at the card as it kind of stands as we move into WrestleMania. And just how we feel those stories and characters are taking place and how they're evolving over these weeks and kind of what we're maybe looking forward to before WrestleMania. And then just before WrestleMania hits, we're going to do a couple of more podcast episodes on this. We'll break it down to night one and night two, and we'll kind of basically we'll be doing booking WrestleMania. So how we would have booked it, how we would have maybe done the matches and stipulations, and then what our predictions are on the actual card that's in front of us. All right. But as always, thank you very much for being here. Whether you're watching or listening, we really appreciate your support. As always, you can get the video version of this podcast on YouTube and Spotify. And for the audio version, basically anywhere that does audio podcasts, you can get it off Audible, Good Pods, Apple, Spotify, everywhere. All right. But as always, we'd appreciate you hitting that like and subscribe and sharing our content if you think it's any good. Or even if it's not, send it out to somebody for a laugh. Why not? Gents, let's talk a little bit about the Elimination Chamber. No real shocks, I think, really, from that. It was quite a straightforward pay-per-view in many aspects. Ryan, what did you think?
Really enjoyed it, actually. I was surprised how much I enjoyed it by how predictable it was. Hopefully the scores bear out, but as far as I remember going into each match and going, yeah, I know this is what's going to happen, and that pretty much is what happened. Mm-hmm. The only match I didn't enjoy as much as I was kind of hoping was Rhea Ripley and Nia Jax, just because I'm not really a fan of Nia Jax in the ring, but they told a really good story in the match anyway, so that carried through pretty well. Favorite match of the night had to be the men's Elimination Chamber. The women's was a better match, but the men's had a kind of stronger story to it. And that RKO out of nowhere on Logan Paul was just
that was a moment. Yeah. Neil, what were your thoughts?
Pretty much the same as Ryan's. It was very weird in as much as like watching the pay-per-view knowing, or not knowing, but having a very strong indication of who I thought was going to win. And just seeing like, okay, I have a fair idea of who's going to win, but how are you going to get there? What are you going to, how are you going to impress me if I already know the ending? And I was very impressed. I think the execution of the end of the women's chamber match, the execution wasn't as good as it should have been, but the idea, the story of it was brilliant.
And Nick, what were your thoughts on Elimination Chamber?
I enjoyed it. I mean, I think the word predictable can be quite a negative word, mm-hmm. but you are right. It was predictable. I like to think more of it was it sort of followed the plan that I think we all wanted it to do, to go to where we needed to get, if you get what I mean, from a WrestleMania perspective. But you are right. There were no massive shocks. I thought, to be fair, it was all good. I thought the women's Elimination Chamber, though, that was my favorite. I think Tiffany Stratton just is coming into her own so strong. She's so over with the crowd. It was ridiculous. And she just performed really well. And she's following it up. Last couple of weeks, she's had two really good matches. Mm-hmm. I've not really watched NXT. Yeah. I've seen little bits of, you know, what she does over there. But yeah, she totally blew me away. But overall, I think the card, even though, as we say, it was a bit predictable, it was great. It was really entertaining. And I'm just glad it set us up for where we wanted everything else to be going. But basically for what we want WrestleMania to be, which is obviously what we'll be talking about in a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely right. Rax, are you with us?
I am. Actually, right. Kind of stuck out there for a second.
Yeah, yeah.
You're gonna have to deal with my voice there again. So
it's yeah.
Don't just need my ugly face there, man.
That's fine. I'll put an entertaining picture over it or something like that. So Rax, your thoughts on Elimination Chamber?
Yeah, I mean, like, I enjoyed it. Kind of like what you guys have been saying. I mean, it was so predictable, but it was fine. I mean, I wasn't like completely like, I actually forgot like the card like completely, like it just didn't stick with me. But I kind of was a bit gutted that for the women's chamber match it didn't have, like, I know it might be cliche, but like with Becky and Bianca being the last two, I don't know, it's just, I just can't stand Liv Morgan, so I think that's what it was. So I was kind of hoping for that, kind of where it was just the two of them, but it was all right. The pay-per-view, I can't even remember much. I mean, you had the tag match as well, right? You got the
wasn't a huge card.
What's it called now?
Two chamber matches, the tag match, the women's world championship match, and
There was the whole Grayson Waller effect with Cody and Seth as well, which took a bit of time.
Yeah, which I thought was quite poor. I didn't think that was a great segment.
She's like, is he meant to be a bad guy? It seems like they're cheering him, and it's like, well, it's his hometown, so
exactly. Yeah,
yeah.
It's terrible. I definitely enjoyed that. I felt like the R-Truth segment was a bit better than a Grayson Waller effect.
Yeah, R-Truth ending up in Austria.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. We don't deserve
it. Glad he's back. No, yeah. He's amazing. He's amazing. Yeah, what Rax said, though, about the men's tag title match, that surprised mm-hmm. me, because I didn't...
Yes.
Newcastle Republic, British Strong Style, whatever you want to call them, mm-hmm. that I've been watching them on SmackDown, and since Tyler Bates come in, they've not really sold me up to now. Okay. But the performance that they put on at Elimination Chamber was just... I'm not going to say it was the best match ever, but compared to what I feel they've been doing on SmackDown, it was such a step up. It was amazing. It was, you know, it was a great match all the way through. Yeah. Dead exciting. It finished the way we thought it was going to finish, clearly. Yeah. Obviously, you know, we'll talk about what's going to be coming at WrestleMania after last night's announcement. But I thought that was probably the biggest surprise for me. Not the result, just how good it was and how good Newcastle Republic were in the match. Yeah, really enjoyed that one.
No, that's a good shout.
Those two have been fantastic. Like, yeah. Well, just in general over their careers. I know they've stalled a bit with NXT UK and things like that, and ending up becoming one of the longest reigning, well, Gunther was one of the longest reigning US UK champions. But yeah. Their match between the two of them when Tyler Bate was the inaugural champ and Pete mm-hmm. Dunne took it off him was like it was an absolute revelation for me on what they could do. It was just so good. So then when they teamed up,
you know what? I'm just happy.
I think great things, as you said, Nick. But yeah, I'm glad they finally started to show some of that.
Yeah, what were you saying, Rex?
Yeah, I'm just happy that he's called Pete Dunne again.
I keep calling him Butch now.
Yeah,
I've been calling Pete Dunne for months, and now I keep calling him Butch.
No, I mean that was clearly a Vince thing, man. But I mean, yeah, no, definitely obviously. Definitely Pete Dunne, and Tyler Bate. I mean, obviously with their history together, and it's just a nice little watch. Like the match was okay, like you guys said, it wasn't the best, but I mean, yeah, definitely more from them to come. Definitely. So let's see.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, so no, I echo all your sentiments on that pay-per-view. We all got our predictions right in terms of who win every match, but so it was entertaining. I thought, you know, Logan Paul again was really great, the way he kept the crowd entertained whilst he was in that pod, and his story that he had with Kevin Owens through the match, and the way that he kind of then almost created this new story with Randy Orton, which has been playing out. I thought that was great. And Rhea Ripley winning in her hometown, it was going to happen. I think I agree with Ryan. It wasn't the greatest of matches, but, you know, the story was fairly decent. And, I think Nia Jax has improved her earring ring, but she isn't necessarily on the level that a lot of the other athletes are. But yeah, so in terms of our prediction scores, like I said, we all got the correct results, but the only variations were who entered the chambers and when. So coming up last was myself with 9 points. Then we had Rax with 10 points, Ryan with 11 points, and Neil with 12 points. So
go on, Neil.
This is just
Neil
what
comes out on top again. I acknowledge you.
Does Ryan have to give you one of his belts now, or is that not?
Yes, we've been speaking about this because we do a fantasy.
Neil is just so if you combined all of our points in our personal fantasy league together, it's not as much as Neil.
For three years, as long as Roman Reigns has been champion, I've been winning our fantasy league. Every year, right? I didn't win the first year. I didn't win the second year, but I'm making up for it.
Who won the first year?
By 2 points. How many points behind me are you now?
I mean, what's that moment as a Man United fan? Aguero
snatching it.
You dare bring
the jaws of defeat.
You dare bring that up.
Right, let's go on to WrestleMania then. So, obviously, we've had some back and forths in terms of the main events for night one and night two. We had Cody win the Rumble. He called out Roman Reigns. He stepped back. Rock was going to fight him. Then the internet kicked off, social media kicked off. And whether that is definitely impacted or not, or whether this was a plan all along, who knows? But I don't believe it was supposed to play out the way it has, but it's where we are now. So we have Roman Reigns of the Rock sort of like as an alliance now, as the Bloodline, and they issued the challenge to Cody and Seth Rollins. They've accepted. We're at the point now where it is Roman Reigns and the Rock versus Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins, night one of WrestleMania 40. Nick, what are your thoughts on the build up to this match? And is it the right match to have? Is it what we want? Is it what you want?
Yeah. I don't know if it's what I want. I like it now. I think it's been really messy. And I like to think that they've just played this really well.
Yeah.
Because I was upset. When Cody stepped back, Chloe, my nine-year-old, she was fuming. She's all right now. She's bought a Rock toy. She's back on Team Rock. But she wasn't happy. She was not happy at first. The more I think about it now, the more I think that it probably has been the plan all along, because it's building up to something that I think is going to be massive. And I think it's all been, I like to think it's all part of the plan. So Cody losing last year, it's all set up. And again, we're going to predictions, but you know, for specific wins, but I think they're trying to build up to their end game moment. I think we're going to end up with like a full on battle going on with Bloodline rules. We're going to have people getting involved, you know, involved in Judgment Day, Drew McIntyre, Sami Zayn, and it's going to be like an endgame moment. And it's, we're then going to appreciate even more so how they've built up over the last couple of years and Cody's loss last year. So if it all goes to plan, great. But fingers crossed that that is what the plan is.
Yeah. I've really enjoyed Heel Rock. It's been a long time coming. Yeah, I've loved his new entrance that he had in on SmackDown with the lightning, like the Black Adam lightning.
Yeah.
It was very, very nice. And he's been doing a lot of stuff on his social media, on Instagram, and it's on TikTok and everywhere. And he just keeps calling Cody Rhodes out, and he's swearing a lot, which is quite strange. He's swearing a lot.
Back to the Attitude Era, aren't we?
Yeah, it is. And he's really turning up. And obviously, Cody got his slap in the last segment of SmackDown last week. It looked like it had overrun. They showed some footage from the crowd where you see the cameramen telling The Rock to have to wrap it up because they're obviously cutting to the end because Fox wouldn't give them that extension, which is one of the things when you have live TV. So they had to cut that segment a little bit short. But yeah, I found it really entertaining. And like you say, Nick, from where we were to where we are, I think it's the best outcome we could have got, especially if it wasn't the plan. I personally think that it was supposed to be Cody Roman, and I just don't know if The Rock is just come in and stamped his authority, or whether it was the fact that he joined the board, but they have said that the kind of plan was in there before the Rumble even. So who knows, we won't really know the full politics backstage.
I think they've had to alter it slightly because I think the reason they're adding Seth in is because Punk's injured. And I think if it wasn't for the Punk's injury, I think it would be a very, very different night one main event. But I think in general, that's where they've been trying to go with it.
Yeah, that's why I haven't been a fan of the fact that Seth has been involved in this. It doesn't seem right. But I do like the fact of how they've used that to be part of the story with Drew McIntyre, which we'll come on to.
Yeah.
So they have kind of, you know, recognized that. Neil, thoughts on The Rock, Roman versus Cody and Seth? Are you enjoying the ride?
It's weird. I think this has turned into a situation where it's like, I didn't like the premise, but I'm loving everything I'm seeing.
Mm-hmm.
I think Nick kind of perfectly kind of alluded to it. I think night one is going to be Infinity War and night two is going to be Endgame. I think it's, I don't mean this in the way I'm going to say it. I think the best thing, the reason all of this is happening is because CM Punk got injured, and I'm like, cool. Because if he didn't get injured, he'd have probably won the Rumble. He'd have challenged Seth because of their history. Then we'd have probably got, you know, Cody would have maybe made a little speech or two about trying to face Roman. Roman would have legitimately been able to say, I beat you last year, piss off. And then you'd have heard, if you smelled, or Rock would have come out and says, well, you ain't never beat me. And then I think Cody wouldn't have had his match. Or Rock would have been a face, and it would have been like, if I can beat you in night one, then you have to face Cody in night two.
Yeah.
It would have been something like that.
Yeah.
But as it currently stands with the current plan, the way it's currently going, I love it. Like, Mumra and Skeletor joining forces to go against like He-Man and Lion-O.
I'd watch that all day.
This is exactly what happened. And I'm like, yep, I'm down for this. This is what's happening. This heel rock is the best heel rock.
Yes.
Because Hollywood Rock, when he was going up against Hogan and Austin and that, it was good. But like, it was the like, I'm the cowardly lion kind of heel. This heel is like, I could beat your ass anytime I want.
Yeah. It's much more of a dominating heel.
Yeah. Because it's like, you know, there's only certain characters can be that, you know, the second you get your hands on me, I'm going to run away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, even, you know, if you look back at the press conference, when the four of them were just standing facing each other, Rock is infinitely bigger than both of them, or than all three of them. So I'm like,
all three of them are about the size Rock was when he was Hollywood Rock.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. And he's such a mountain compared to them right now that, like, him being like technically second fiddle to Roman, because he's like, I acknowledge you, and I'm like, I don't believe that.
Yeah, there's
gonna be something.
Yeah, something's gonna have to happen from that. And like you say, I think Roman's been really good on the mic over the last couple of years. His mic game's dramatically improved, but with The Rock there, he doesn't get as much time on it, and it feels like all his segments are a little bit rushed, and it's not having the same impact that it once did. And
Rock, I don't think he needs to speak anymore, because it's you think about it, like this time last year, he was like, he was saying, telling Cody, your legacy is going to be one of failure. You couldn't get over in the company you built. Then here you are now, back here, and you can't beat me. And it was like, your dad thought so much more about me than he did about you.
Yeah.
So it's like, what could Cody possibly, what could Roman possibly say other than, I've already beaten you?
He's fresher with The Rock speaking.
Also, the MVP of all of this is Paul Heyman. Him not opening his mouth, and just every look that comes up off of him.
That was a story. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just like, you know, whenever it's like, I acknowledge you, the look he's given, he looks like the hand of the king watching somebody who he knows is going to betray the king, and he's like, don't let that motherfucker close to the iron throne.
Yeah. Rax, how have you found the build up to Roman, Rock, Cody, Seth?
It's been okay. Like, I haven't really completely bowled over at all, really, to be honest with you. I mean, it's been decent, I guess. I mean, like you guys have been saying, it's just obviously, you know, it's like a situation where they're just kind of filling in because there's no Punk, right? So it's kind of been rushed and all that. I mean, The Rock, he's really great as a heel and everything, that's all good. But the build-up itself, I'm just not kind of with it, really. I'm kind of more interested in about, I guess, what will happen on the actual pay-per-view itself rather than the build-up, I guess, because, I mean, they've got the stipulations, right?
Yeah, I'll come on to that because I think that is one of the things kind of which will feed into other matches. So it's probably one that we will cover tonight. It's all like how we think we're going to play out.
Don't forget as well, Paul Heyman, he's also being inducted, right?
Yes,
he is. Yeah.
Yeah.
So well deserved. Such a nice
I'm expecting something there, like on the Hall of Fame night. I mean, there's got to be something there that may bleed.
Who do we think is going to induct him?
Tommy Dreamer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not going to be Brock. Don't think he's getting an invite this year.
Yeah, no, that's a good shout, actually, Dreamer. Yeah,
yeah,
that could happen. Yeah. Ryan, what are your thoughts on the build-up?
I've enjoyed it so far. I think pretty much like you guys, I was initially quite annoyed that The Rock came back and seemed like he inserted himself in. I think with all the injuries and all the stuff with the board and all of the Vince stuff that we won't mention, they're probably left with a load of pieces that they're trying to fit together. It was telling that it took them 3 weeks to explain why Cody stepped aside, and The Rock did that on his Instagram feed. In fact, they actually mentioned it at Elimination Chamber, where Cody says, I bet you're wondering why I stepped aside, and then they never mentioned the reason why.
Yeah, and he's like, I'm going to keep you wondering. Cool. Yeah.
I'm enjoying it. I think the stipulation, the end game comparison is really apt. One of the things I'm liking most about the build, though, is all the pieces coming together in the back end. So, like, Seth and Drew the other week really, really told me they were going to go this way. Because Drew's like, leave them alone. It's going to ruin our match because they're just going to absolutely demolish it. And then you won't be able to say, I've beat you fairly. And that whole thing's going to come out because you're playing off the whole 2 years. And Drew's been doing that brilliantly for the last couple of months, where it's like, do you not remember when Jay was a dick?
Yeah. Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh no, he's brilliant. They're doing all of that. And and it's like, yeah, but he was with the Bloodline for 3 years.
Yeah. Drew's kind of been our narrator, hasn't he?
He's good at it, though.
Story. Yeah.
I love the little 15 minutes of Drew at the start of every episode of Raw. It's replaced the Judgment Day opening Raw for every week.
That's it, it's like previously on WWE.
Exactly.
I'm still going to tell you the story.
And it's even spilled over into Bianca and Bayley now. where there seems to be this new breed of face that actually acknowledges history. And it's so refreshing. But like she was saying, was it Naomi that was going, oh, I actually feel quite bad for Bayley. Like it's very hard losing your girls and all of that. And Bianca's like, no, damn it, you weren't here for 2 years. She beat the shit out of me for 2 years. Fuck it.
Yeah, it's good because that's what long-term storytelling does, you know, and that's exactly what they should be feeding into more. I mean, I think the match itself is going to be solid. I think I will touch on a little bit now in terms of where we think that's going to result, because I do not know who is going to take a pin or a loss in this match.
I think Cody will take the pin. I think it'll be more meaningful if Cody takes the pin.
Cody will take the pin.
Bloodline rules. That's you said, Neil. It's your Infinity War moment. Cody is supposed to be finishing his story. He takes the pin.
Mm-hmm.
And then goes on to him winning the next night.
Yeah, because I think looking at it, the only way I see it working perfectly, if Cody takes the pin, if Rock is the one who pins him.
Yes.
And it's like it happens in such a way that it's like Seth Rollins could break up the pin, but for whatever reason doesn't. Not in like a heelish way, like, or not even if he could, maybe like a perfect example would be if he's about to take the, if he sees, I don't know, Rock Bottom, people's elbow, he sees the pin, he goes to dive in the ring to break up the pin, and maybe he takes a spear from Roman, or maybe he doesn't even get into the ring. But I see that happening. That's your Infinity War moment. Your heroes have lost.
Yeah.
And I think I don't want him to get hurt, but they need to play up some level of injury in Seth so that it's, you have to deal with Drew McIntyre and you can't be there. Between now and WrestleMania, I need there to be some level of stipulation that says Seth Rollins cannot get involved in night two's match, main event.
I think they'll all get involved. I think it's going to be a full reason, I think out the outside of the ring, though. I think the ring will be...
Yeah. But I think the reason I need it like that is I need it, if they say it's bloodline rules, cool. That fits in perfectly with my narrative.
Yes.
Because I don't want Seth anywhere near that match. Because I want Jey Uso to be the one who interrupts, to who causes whatever needs to happen to make sure that it's fair between Cody and Roman.
I think you bang on with the bloodline Rock as well, members, you know.
Because
I think you bang... Go on.
Yeah, I think it needs to only be bloodline family involved, because the second you, to be honest, the championship is the end of Cody's story. Once that pin has happened and he's holding the championship, he is no longer relevant to anything that happens bloodline related.
No.
But the fallout of Roman losing, that becomes relevant. And it's, are you still the tribal chief? Is Solo going to now be, you know, he's heir to the kingdom. Is he now in line?
That's why it's got to be The Rock to pin Cody, because The Rock's got to be the only one who's actually doing it, be seen to be doing anything.
Exactly.
So that when he pins Cody in night one and
Reigns fails to do it,
he's going for tribal chief now, and that's setting up our SummerSlam. And that's it.
Long-term booking. As you think about long-term booking, right? It goes back, and then the long-term booking is Roman never beat Cody by himself. It was Solo who gave him the thumb in the neck, the Samoan spike. That's what led to Cody losing. Mm-hmm. Then it's like, Roman can't do anything by himself. And then, hey.
Exactly.
Yeah. Nick, any more thoughts on like the outcome? Because you've kind of put it out there. So you think Cody will take the pin, bloodline rules, and it's going to be, hell on earth kind of thing.
Yeah, I think that's I know we're not supposed to be doing predictions, but I think that's got to be it. I'm not convinced you're only going to get bloodline members in there. I don't know why I still see Sammy being part of this somehow. But again, whether he gets away with that as X. What was that, sorry, Ryan?
I was saying Sammy's got to be involved 100%.
Yeah, he's got I feel like there's going to be not like recruitment, but like when you, it's, we've already seen Paul Heyman having a chat with Grayson Waller and obviously Austin Theory. And I just feel like there's going to be over the next couple of weeks, a build up to some sort of recruitment to sort of get inside. And I just feel, I do think to a degree, the ring is going to be sacred because Cody can't win this by somebody else interrupting. Cody needs to win this on his own. But I feel like there's going to be an all-out battle. You're going to have like the vast majority of the roster at each other's throats outside the ring while it's up, while Cody and Roman are beating each other up inside the ring. And then I'd like to think we're going to get Cody winning, but I'll be honest, I'm not sure. It wouldn't surprise me if Roman won.
Yeah, I'm almost at the point now where I just want to see him actually break Hogan's record, and I wouldn't be adverse to him walking out there winning again, because it would just piss so many people off, and I kind of sick that way. I kind of want to see it, because it's almost again too predictable for Cody to win. Maybe it's the journey. Right.
I think they played us last year with it though, and I think this is the payoff now.
Question: If Roman is the champion at SummerSlam, does that beat Hogan's record?
No, it's got to get to September, I think.
September.
Yeah.
I think a match between Rock and Roman won't happen until next WrestleMania. I'm convinced of that, because it's either going to be then or it might be in November in Saudi Arabia, because I think that they'll either use it to be a high-profile event in Saudi Arabia to really promote that brand over there and, you know, have The Rock go over there and do that kind of promotion. But The Rock has got movies coming up which he needs to film. So he's got a UFC AE24 movie.
Oh, yeah.
A UFC fighter. And he's doing the live-action Moana movie as well. They're both supposed to be filming this year. So I think he's actually going to disappear a little while after WrestleMania. He might be there or after WrestleMania. Lay the groundwork and then disappear for a while. He might be there for a bit longer, but I don't see him coming back. I don't see necessarily another match this the end of this year, unless it's maybe November. I don't think.
Yeah, that would be perfect, because that's when Moana 2's out, isn't it? Moana 2's out in November, so it's perfect.
Yeah, you need some publicity. Yeah.
Plus, you've got Punk probably back in time for SummerSlam as well.
Ken just used real life to book.
Yeah, wrestling that's it. He's a member of the board now, Neil. He's got to think of these things.
When you're in grave control, man, you got to have these. You got to have these notions, man. That's how we do.
I actually see them going with. So, in the build up to The Rock, SummerSlam's the midpoint. Jay and Jimmy are fighting. You could always have Rock and Jay versus Roman and Jimmy.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. That's right. Maybe just the bloodline will be all internal fighting. And, you know, if it's a case of maybe it'll almost be like a redemption arc for Roman. So maybe The Rock will get the whole bloodline on his side. And he's like, right, you have to keep going through my minions before you get to me as the final boss battle. So Roman then goes on the redemption arc.
Wise man leaves Roman. Everyone leaves Roman. I like that.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. And then it just kind of will solidify Roman again as being that top dog, because he has been protected for so long with the interference. It's actually, you know what? Yeah, go and beat, you know, Jimmy. Go beat Solo. Then go beat The Rock. And, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
Rax, let's get your thoughts on this. How do you think that's going to kind of play out?
Definitely. I mean, like, whatever Nick was saying, like, I agree 100%. You know, just the way it's going to be. Honestly, I totally 100% agree that Cody's going to be the one to take the fall. And it has to be. And they're going to have this huge, massive little blowout. I think, I don't know, like, if they'll have, like, in my opinion, I don't think they have Sami Zayn. That's just me. I don't think they'll have him there. But, I mean, definitely, I mean, Jay, because Jimmy, they're going to definitely have a match. So, obviously, Jimmy's going to probably pop in. Jay's definitely going to pop in there. Like what Neil was saying, no Rollins. Honestly, I just don't want him there. I think it's just going to completely, like, I don't know if we can talk about it now, but in my opinion, I think, you know, Rollins is going to lose the title at WrestleMania. That's how I feel. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I don't think he's pretty much up to, let's say, the mood. to kind of, like, jump in and try to...
Yeah, I get that. You know what I mean?
So I don't see any kind of involvement from there, but Cody has to win clean. And I think I actually think he will win this time. I mean, to be honest, it's expected. It's kind of like the Elimination Chamber thing, right? Like everyone kind of is expecting, and it's kind of obvious and all that, but then then it is the WWE, in it, so you never know what happens.
And that's the thing, you can never take it for granted. And yeah, as much as it should be the right thing, you just don't know. What are your guys' thoughts about the fact that there might be some interference to help Cody and Seth, or help Cody in the end with Stone Cold making an appearance? Because I don't know if you guys are seeing, but he's been training hard online, and he is in phenomenal shape. And Rock's made that kind of gesture, like, there's no one in the back and the take me. And it's like, well, do we expect him? Because he was there last year at WrestleMania. Do we think he can make an appearance? Maybe second night? And like you say, if you've got all this fighting going on the outside, he's going to be that Captain Marvel that comes in and just kind of takes everybody out. So Cody can do his thing.
Mankind thing, you know, where he essentially gifted Mankind the title by coming down, chair shotting the Rock, and beating off.
Yeah,
I don't really see it happening. I mean, yeah, he that serious shape he's in, that's the old Stone Cold shape he's getting into. But I think the problem is, it alters the story, because the thing is, I think the greatest thing that WWE could possibly do is have Cody win it essentially by himself.
It'd make the most sense from a narrative.
It's like, you know, even though I'm personally against it, having Sammy come down to mess around in the match, if everything is happening outside, having Sammy come down, it makes sense. He was part of the bloodline. You know, Jimmy and Jay, they're blood to it. It's seeing all of that stuff. But it needs to be, I hate to sound all Fast and Furious, but it needs to be family only involved in this match. The second it's like other people, it just becomes messy. And it's like, okay, great. If Stone Cold comes out, it's great. But
for what? That's the thing, isn't it?
It's a cheap pop.
Yeah.
That has no payoff.
Yeah. It'd be cool, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's not the right move.
Do we think a Dustin Rhodes appearance is possible?
Possibly. I mean, I could see him there, but getting involved, I doubt it.
Yeah, I think he's still contracted with AEW, isn't he?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
This would be one time they loan him out.
I think it's a lot more likely Austin shows up, to veering slightly into what I think will happen with the card, that Austin shows up to support Owens.
Right, okay. Yeah, I could see that happening. All right, let's move on from the Bloodline and Cody. Let's talk about Seth and Drew quickly. We've already mentioned about Seth being part of this and you know, how it's going to potentially impact his night. For me, it's been a solid story from Drew. I think I've really enjoyed his work, his mic work, the fact that he's taken apart CM Punk, the T-shirt, his social media stuff he's done, where he drove up to this crowd from a car park and they were kind of jeering, and then he put on CM Punk's music, and it was just taking them. Oh, he just, everything he's touching and doing at the moment is just, it's a chef's kiss. And he's been the most entertaining of everyone leading into WrestleMania for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Has Especially he considering he probably wasn't he supposed re-signed? To be there.
Yeah. Sorry, go on, Rex.
Has he been re-signed again? No, I'm saying, has he re-signed with WWE? Because I know that there's a thing. Apparently, I mean, he's got it, right? Yeah, he hasn't signed yet, but I mean, he's got it. At this point, he's having a great run right now. Plus, obviously, Punk. You know, he's having this whole thing. It's got it going.
Oh, do you know what the problem is? What I think is going to happen would prevent him from re-signing.
I think I know where you're going with it. Yeah, I could see it being,
Go on, divulge. Tell me, Neil. Let's go.
I think that Seth will beat Drew, but okay, I think he will get cashed in on. I think he'll get cashed in on by Damian Bruce. And like, any way you spin it, Drew McIntyre is not leaving WrestleMania with the World Heavyweight title.
I think the opposite. I think total opposite.
Yeah.
I think Drew's walking away the champion. I think there will be a cash in. I think it'll be an unsuccessful cash in by Priest. Massive waste of a Money in the Bank winner. But I think that the whole I think the plan all along was to have, like you said, Neil, Punk win the Rumble and Punk beat Seth for that title. Yeah. And now that either way, they're still taking that title off Seth. And I think they've brought Drew in. He's done a fantastic job of filling a gap. But when Punk's back, probably SummerSlam, Punk's taking that title off Drew. And then I think at that stage, you are right. What's Drew going to do now? That's a perfect time for him to walk out. He's been WWE champ. He's been world heavyweight champion. He's had it taken off him. And I think he's doing a really good job of filling that gap. And the fact that he's somehow having a feud with Seth, a very good feud with Seth, and a feud with CM Punk, who's not even there, just shows how well he's doing with it. But I think it's a perfect send-off if he does choose to go to AEW, probably, which is where he'd go.
Yeah. I see a scenario of a cash-in at this WrestleMania. I think it is about time. I'm wondering whether Drew does beat Seth, because Seth is kind of been beaten down from the previous night and he has that to overcome. Drew wins it. Damian comes in to cash it. It looks like it's going to be unsuccessful, but then CM Punk comes in and costs him the title and Damian cashes in successfully. So whether he gets...
Do you want to see Damian Priest versus CM Punk?
No, I don't.
There you go.
But from a shock value, I think it would work. But
I mean, if you really want a shock value, then I'd have the cash in be unsuccessful, but not for that reason. I'd have it that, you know, Damien goes down, briefcase. Yeah, I'm cashing in, and this is not my idea. I heard someone else mention this, so I'm bringing it up. Was they pop open the briefcase and there's nothing in it. And it's just like, Finn has the contract.
Oh, yeah, amazing. Yeah.
It'd be like, Finn's got the contract. You have it that, you know, Judgment Day, they lose the tag titles at WrestleMania before the cash-in. Cash-in happens. There's no briefcase. You're not in the match. Piss off. Then if Drew wins, it doesn't matter. But you have Drew win. And then you have the Finn versus Damian battle.
It's as time. In,
like, the bloodline, the Judgment Day are done.
Yeah.
They're completely separated.
Does anyone see an opportunity for Damien to cash in on Gunther? Because obviously we've got Gunther versus teased, Sami Zayn.
That's true.
That's the only thing they've actually teased. Literally 2 weeks ago, he came out and said, I'm taking your title, and held up his briefcase.
Yeah. Like, well, only because, obviously, he can't get involved with Roman, and Seth's been injured. So... Yeah. You know, I don't know if it was just a case of making it relevant or just putting that, but I see that as a possibility. It doesn't have to be for the main title, but you'd wonder if it being this long, but you know, maybe he has a hell of a match against Sammy and he barely wins, and maybe then he comes in and cashes it.
I think
has there ever been like a cash-in? Has there ever been a cash-in or a cash-in attempt that's not a world title?
Yes. Austin Theory.
I could actually see that happening
because it does make what Dominic said absolutely right. He was like, oh, you know what, we're making sure that the bloodline has all the gold, we're taking that from you, that particular title. And I think a cash in on Gunther is the best way to get the title off of him. Because the match with Sami Zayn
kind of protects him a little bit, then, doesn't it?
Yeah, because it's like, oh, he had a match, he won the match, he got hurt, a cash in happened on a weakened Gunther, and then, you know, you take the title from him, and then I would say you switch him from Raw to SmackDown, and then you have him battle Cody, but that's in the future.
Yeah,
it's a good shout. Because Gunther needs to let it go in order to start chasing the main title.
Exactly.
You know, so okay. Does anybody see any other outcome then? So, you know, we've got a mixture here in terms of Drew and Seth walking out. Ryan, who do you see how do you see that playing out?
I personally I think Drew's winning, but the only other alternative I can see is that CM Punk interferes and costs him the match.
Yeah.
And he's still injured. He's got the thing on, but he does a GTS while the referee's down. 1-2-3, build to SummerSlam. And then he should be back around SummerSlam. I think that's the only way to protect Drew, because Drew's one of my favorite acts in the entire company. I want him to be the champion, but if he's not going to win and they want to keep it on Seth for a bit longer, I think that makes sense with all the stuff that they've been doing with CM Punk in the background. Plus, it gets CM Punk on WrestleMania.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. And he's appearing on Raw next week, I believe. So, because it's in Chicago, so it'll be interesting to see what he has to say. Right, let's move on let's talk about Gunther and Sami Zayn. So Sami Zayn won the Gauntlet match on Raw. He is now the contender. Is that the right decision?
No, it should have been Gable.
Should have been good Chad.
Should have been Gable. Don't know what they're doing with Sami. They just don't know what to do with Sami, do they?
I love Gable, but I mean, they've been building up Sami's story as he can't seem to win the big one, which it seems a weird story to build up for the IC title, which, I mean, Gunther's made that arguably more relevant than the world title, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same point, it's a similar build-up to the story he had on NXT when he finally won the NXT title, where it's like, loss, big one, finally get there. So they can tie that up, and Gunther's probably the biggest bad they've got other than Roman, right? Mm-hmm. So kind of makes sense, but Gable and he had a fantastic match. That's going to be an all-time WrestleMania classic if it goes the right way.
Yeah. Do we see a situation where he works himself into the match and we have a triple threat?
Yeah, but I can't figure out how yet. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's where it's potentially going. I just don't know how it's going to happen. Because the pushing is too much.
Yeah, it just seems like it's all over the shop.
I could see it happening if it's a question of, like, if there's a face-off next week. So if next week, Monday, there's a face-off between Gunther and Sami, and it's back and forth, and Gunther is doing his beautiful, beautiful mic work, talking about how, you know, feeble and fragile Sami is, and he's like, oh, you know, you're nothing, you know, he was like, look how hard you had to work to beat Gable, and I demolished him. He didn't, but he said he did.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Sami gets a little aggravated, starts giving him lefts and rights, Imperium interferes, and then from that interference, Gable comes out. Mm-hmm. And then maybe on, you know, you have a six-man tag. You have Otis and Gable and Sami versus Imperium. Mm-hmm. And maybe in some way, shape, or form, like, a stipulation is built that if these guys win,
you get into the match.
Match.
Yeah, it's a possibility. And I think it's a match I'd prefer to see rather than one-on-one with Sami. And, you know, Sami had his moment last year at WrestleMania with Kevin Owens, you know, defeating the Usos. It wasn't, you know, it's not a case of he has to have that moment again this year at WrestleMania. Owens is kind of pushed to the side. So, yeah, they may have been night one, exactly. Yeah, so, yeah. Rax, what's your thoughts on Gunther and Sami?
Yeah, I mean, generally, I'm okay with it. I think it's all right. Like, I'm not hugely fussed with it. I mean, yeah, I love Sami, I love Gunther, so I should be excited for it, but there's just something about it that I'm just not. It's probably the build-up as well. I just think kind of it's a weak build-up. But, I would have thought Gable would have been the better choice. You know what I mean? Mm. What a classic you would have had there at WrestleMania, honestly. I mean, the matches that they've had on Raw in the past have been amazing. So, you know, I would have said probably replicate that. I would say replicate that at WrestleMania. But obviously, Sami, you know, love him. But, you know, I'm not generally looking forward to it. But I'm generally okay with it as well. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I'm pretty sure that they will throw in a good match. You know, a decent match at best anyway. I don't see him winning. But, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, they won't.
Yeah. Well, I was quite surprised by the Gauntlet and having this number one contender, because I thought of all the belts, we would have got like a six-man ladder match for the Intercontinental title. And well, I would have had for the US players in there.
Mm-hmm. That's what I said for the US title at the minute.
Yeah, because everybody needs to beat the shit out of Logan.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I can't stand that man, but he's so good.
He's built for this business. He absolutely is. Well, let's talk about that in terms of how that kind of story is playing out, because obviously he had the beef with Owens. Owens, you know, couldn't get the title off him. He's having this feud with Randy, and obviously Owens has been a part of that. LA Knight and AJ haven't really been involved. They've been kind of feuding between them. Do we see an instance where it might be a triple threat of like Randy, Kevin Owens, and Logan Paul? or do we see it as a bigger match with, like, say, 5-6 individuals in a stipulation match? Because I think it would lend very well to that talent, but we're going to have the six-man or the six-pack ladder match for the tag team titles. So I don't expect Masonerity 2, because if anything, they might do a women's version of the six-pack ladder match for the tag title. So how do you see the US Championship playing out, guys? Ryan, have you got any ideas?
Personally, I think EJ, so it's not related, but it gets them out of the picture. So EJ and LA Knight are going to have a one-on-one. Like, they're not going to get involved. Originally, I would have wanted a six-man with them, but they're so disconnected now. I think it's one-on-one between them. And then you'll probably have a fatal four-way because you've got Owens and Orton. And then you'll probably have, obviously you'll have Logan, but you'll probably have Austin Theory in there as well. And then you've got two heels, two good guys. It doesn't really make sense for a triple threat, in my opinion, because it would balance it out a bit more with Logan having a bit of backup.
Yeah, because otherwise it could film a bit more of a two-on-one situation.
Yeah.
I think the only way they'd do a triple threat would make sense is if you're going to keep the belt on Logan. Because otherwise it's just too obvious.
Yeah. I wish I would. I'd keep it on him.
I yeah, would.
Oh, yeah, great. Yeah.
I think you need to give it to him. You need to get LA Knight to take it off him.
Yeah. I mean,
take it all the way to the next Saudi Arabia show, which is, I think, in May, and then maybe he loses it there. But yeah.
I'd probably, I'd keep the title on Logan, so it wouldn't matter who he faces. But having it a multi-man match with people who are definitively better than he is. So your Randys, your LA Knights, people who are definitively better than he is, and then still have him weasel out with the title. It would be like, the best way I can describe it is that six-pack Hell in the Cell. Mm-hmm. There was no way I envisioned Kurt Angle walking out with that title. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he did, it's just like, he didn't weasel out, obviously, he's Kurt Angle. But yeah. It's the fact that against these overwhelming odds, the person who is the weaselest heel is able to walk out with it.
Yeah.
So I think him slipping out with the title is a good idea. And then have him lose it, have the draft happen, have people switch brands, and then have somebody new beat him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hell, if you're not going to have Gable win the Intercontinental title, have, when you make the switch, have him win the US title.
US title, yeah. No, that's a really good shout. Yeah. Let's look at some of the other matches. So Io Sky versus Bayley. Has anything happened here? Because I'm not...
Can't wait for this one.
Bayley kind of got left out a little bit from following the Royal Rumble in terms of her presence and her win and, you know, that kind of recognition. But where do you see, how have you guys enjoyed this story? Because I haven't actually seen any of this build up between these two. So other than her announcing that she was going to pick Io Sky for the belt, I haven't actually seen anything. So
you missed out.
Okay, tell me. Educate me.
So obviously there's like the whole, she's no longer part of Damage Control. You know, she created it, but she's not in it no more. And then it was like, I think it was the following week, Dakota Kai was like, oh, look, you know, don't lump me in with them. I'm with you. I'm on your side kind of thing. Yeah. And then Bayley was like, nah, I can't trust you because you was with them. You was riding high with them. That led to a tag match where it was Bayley and Dakota versus
the Lucha Warriors.
Yeah. And Dakota turned on Bayley during that match. Jump off the top. He's like, oh, you want to tag? Come tag me. And then jump off the apron. She did that. And it was like, okay, Bayley lost. And then it's like all of Damage Control are together. And it's just Bayley by herself. And I see that happening for one reason. It's not a guaranteed, but I got the surge of it happening because of something that happened at the Royal Rumble. Because Naomi came back at the Royal Rumble, I just, in my head, I can just see it. I can't get the image out of my head of Bayley having no backup whatsoever, every time she's trying to get the pin, somebody interferes. And then right at that moment where it's like, it's going to end, there's no help. You just hear that Sasha Banks entrance music. She comes back to WWE, launches down, clobbers everyone whose name isn't Io or Bayley. Bayley gets the pin. Look, you know, at the end of it, they hug. Voila. Okay.
Magic moment. All right.
And then it's like, you don't even need, or because you could have that happen and it could work any way you want. They could join forces and be happy and then like go after the tag titles, as you know, they once held those tag titles. They can go after those tag titles and it's a beautiful moment. Or you can have a comeback, they hug, Bayley's won the title, she turns on her, clobbers the crap out of her, and it's like, we have heel Sasha Banks and face Bayley, and they can mix it up the way that they've done so many great times before.
Good shout. Good shout.
You know what? As much as I want to see like a Sasha return, because she's a great wrestler, but you know, I find her aesthetically pleasing. But I don't see her actually coming back or nothing like that. But I mean, I would like to see in the match like Damage Control really taking the piss with Bayley, and it's just a lot of back and forth, a lot of near falls, a lot of interference from them, and just I think Bayley will win clean, but
yeah,
completely like, you know, against all odds sort of thing. You know, I don't see a return from Sasha Banks as much as I want to, but I want to see a Bayley win. And was it Ryan or who was it that said last week that said that when she wins those if she wins the title, what's that thing that she had, the pop-ups come up and everything?
Like stadium-sized ones pop up.
Now the entrance, Bayley's entrance is going to be Paramore doing the hug music, telling you, there we go, there's number one. Yeah. We're going to have her come down. As she's going down that giant ramp, we'll have wibbly wobbly waving men coming up as we go down.
And yeah.
She'll get to the bottom. She gets to the bottom of the ramp, get a bobble, and put her hair in a side ponytail, and then get
her. Oh, that'd be amazing. That's
the Bayley entrance. If she doesn't win that match with a Bayley, was it a Bayley to Bayley?
Bayley to Bayley, yeah.
I'm so upset.
You know what? I would love to go. I would love to see Bayley just run up to Michael Cole and give like the biggest hug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd maybe be it'll awesome. Be Michael Cole and not Sasha Banks. Maybe Michael Cole stepping in and
stepping for tags. Yeah, hope it'll be Pat.
But Bayley needs to win, and she needs to give somebody a hug. That's why I'm like Sasha Banks.
Yeah, that's it. She needs to give someone a hug. Yeah, that's a good shout. Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch. Was this kind of predictable in terms of this match taking place? Was it the right two? Do we think, or do we think that it could have been somebody else versus Rhea? You know, what if? Would we have got a repeat if Charlotte, for instance, wasn't injured? Would we got a repeat of last year? Or do we think Becky's kind of been on this journey because she went down to NXT and won a championship there and then she's come back? Is it Becky's time again?
No. I think this is just a spectacle.
Yeah, it's just they have match. No one they need. Yeah, Rhea is, in reality, she's probably the most popular female on the entire roster, and they need to have her have a match at WrestleMania.
Yeah,
Becky is easily the best person to have her face that she could beat and not cause a scene.
Yeah, it's a good show.
Because it's like you, I think, because if I'm, you know, like, I think Rhea Ripley really needs to just work her way through the remaining horsewomen. She's beaten Charlotte. She needs to deal with Becky and like definitively beat her. A couple months later, maybe she has a little go around with Bayley, and then, you know, she's done with all of the ones who were there, because who hasn't she had a classic match with yet?
Jade.
Yeah.
Jade Cargill's the next one.
Yeah, but that's the same as I think. Because I very much believe that they need to build to that.
Yeah.
And I don't think Rhea can be champion with a challenger being Jade.
No, I think they'll build, if they've got any sense, they'll build to next WrestleMania. They'll keep that belt on her and they'll build to next WrestleMania, add in a couple of feuds. She's not defended it that much, to be fair. No, everyone slags off Roman. I'm not slagging her off, but it, you know, they've done a good job of sort of not making it so obvious that she's not defending it. And I think they're building to something big. But Becky is just a as much as I love Becky Lynch, she's just a placeholder for now. She's just somebody to give us a massive, brilliant match. But she's not the one to take that title off her.
Yeah, and she's good enough on the mic to build that fight as well, Becky. Yeah.
I mean, did you see the thing on Raw with Liv? So walking past.
Oh, Liv,
I want to take everything you love. Yeah. So I think Liv somehow gets involved in the match. She was involved in the final of the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
They teased that. And they're usually pretty good with seeding that. So unless she retains it and lives her next challenger, which is, it was the problem with Ronda Rousey, right? Like, is Liv versus anyone like that is less believable.
Mm.
Maybe she changes her finish. Like, I think that's the big thing for me with Liv. Like Rax was saying, he doesn't like Liv. I do, but that finish of hers just, it doesn't feel impactful at all. Mm-hmm.
You know what?
It's like the running bulldog that Trish used to do. It don't do much.
You know what? You can tell it's a different regime because, I mean, like, she's still kind of relevant even after her bust with the marijuana stuff. Mm. Like, you can tell it's a completely different regime, honestly. She, you know, she did the Jack Swagger. You know what I mean? and Swagger was supposed to win the world title, wasn't it, at WrestleMania? Yeah. I mean, with Liv, it's just... Yeah, I don't know. I'm just sorry. I'm always bashing her.
Paul. No, you know what? You know what? I'm kind of in a similar boat to Rax. I'm not really a fan of Liv Morgan, but you know what would make me a fan of Liv Morgan?
Mm.
When she said, "Oh, I'm here. I'm going to take everything you love." If her first stop is not like. taking Dominic against his will.
Oh, I didn't think of that.
Seducing Dom. Yeah.
I have an image in my head of like she corners Dominic, and he's like, "No, you know, I'm
you're my wife now, Dom."
Grabs him by the hair and just drags him, and the last word you hear him say is "Mommy." And
then the "Mommy, help!" Yeah.
And then the next time you see him, he's just smiling.
How do we see that kind of breaking up? You know, Mammy and Dominic. How's that going to end? besides Liv Morgan, you know, brainwashing him.
Do you know what I see happening? I just see it be as something as simple as like. The Judgment Day lose the tag titles. There's beef between Finn and Damian because of it. And Damian's like, "Well, screw this. I'm out. I'm off."
Yeah.
And then it's just like Finn, Rhea, Dom, JD. And then they just be like, "You know what? Dom, you're going to SmackDown." Or, you know.
Would it strengthen... Yeah, would it strengthen Rhea if she went? Because obviously she's kind of a heel face in the sense of she's bad, but everyone loves her.
Yeah.
What if the Dom ends up costing her the title when she loses it, and then she completely turns on him, rejects him, and that? Because as much as people boo Dom, I don't know if they would.
Mm.
They would say, "Oh, I feel for Dom."
Because I think they're just priming Dom for a face turn, and I think it's the crowd love to hate him so much.
Yeah, and I think Rhea turning on him might be that.
Yeah, if you make a good story out of that, he's going to be such a good face, and people will love him.
I'll tell you like this: Rhea, if she rejects Dom, I tell you exactly what will happen. If she rejects Dom and she does it in the ring.
Yeah.
And he is in the ring by himself, you will hear every single human being in that stadium chanting, "You deserve it," to them.
Yeah.
Potentially. Yeah. You know what? I would have had him dethrone Gunther. I think that would have been
me too. I would definitely have him.
I would have loved that. No.
He was the right guy. Shitty, he'll win. Something they gets involved, multi-man match at WrestleMania just to protect it a bit. Like, that would have been what I would have done.
Can you imagine him as the next Money in the Bank winner? Yeah, I'll say, if he was the next Money in the Bank winner, that'd be hilarious.
I think if Priest has a successful cash in, I think Dom needs to be the one to take it off him.
Yeah, it's a good shout.
That's the perfect setup for Dom turning and the breakup of the Judgment Day.
Yeah, and I'd probably make the next cash in a quick one, in a sense of, because obviously
it happens that night.
At that night, or exactly next, but yeah, exactly, because obviously we've had so many, you know, failed or fake cash ins that haven't turned out with Damien. It's kind of now a lot of, you know, you forget he had it for some time. And when is Money in the Bank? Is it July?
6th of July.
Oh, yeah. July. Right. Okay. So we've got a little bit of time left. But
I think the next Money in the Bank, you're looking, if I was sitting next to Paul Levesque planning this out.
If you had creative control,
I'd be having Sammy win it. I wouldn't give him Gunther's title. I'd have Sammy win it, and I wouldn't have him doing one of these surprise cash ins against probably Drew. I'd have him sit there and go, I am cashing this in. I am going to cash it in at SummerSlam, and I am going to beat you one-on-one. I don't need to surprise. I'm going to show everybody that I can beat you one-on-one, and then have him successfully win that way, rather than just trying to...
That'd be a refreshing change after the last years of, frankly, Money in the Bank being pretty bad since the pandemic. Yeah.
And so many false cash-ins by Damien Priest. It was like every week at one point. So let's have a I'm gonna challenge you. This is the date, and I'm gonna beat you for it.
Yeah, good shout. Go on, Neil.
Was Miz the last person to successfully cash in on a men's main title?
I'd have to look it up.
Because it was Otis won it, he lost it to Miz.
To the Miz, yeah.
Who cashed in on Drew.
Yeah.
Right. And then the next winner was Austin Theory, who cashed in to win the US title. And then the next winner was...
Did he win the US title? I thought he cashed in and lost.
No, he cashed in and won the US title. He cashed in on the US title.
Yeah, but he didn't.
Did he have an unsuccessful one as well?
No, he won it. He won the US title.
No, he lost it. That's why he lost it.
Yeah, I'm sure. And I know Austin Theory.
Austin Theory cashed in after 128 days losing his match. Yeah, he won the US title in the Elimination Chamber.
He snapped afterwards and then dropped the selfie thing, became really serious, and then won it.
Ah, okay. I see. So you're saying that the last...
Big E cashed in the championship.
Ah, yes.
Oh, yeah, that was it.
Big E cashed in after 57 days winning the WWE Championship. So
because Otis was 20.
Then Big E. Yeah. So Otis won it in 2020, but lost it to The Miz. Then The Miz cashed in to win. Then Big E cashed in, Austin Theory, unsuccessful cash in. And then Damian Priest has won it.
Going to have two years of unsuccessful cash ins then, by all accounts, because there's no way Damian Priest can successful cash in.
Yeah.
Damien definitely winning that cash in.
yeah, I can see that. Right, let's talk about the six-pack tag team ladder match of the WWE Undisputed Tag Team titles. I was a little bit surprised by this because I thought they were going to announce a split of the titles.
Because I think
having them on one show isn't right, and I don't think it's working. I think you need that on both shows. So when they said, we recognize the depth of the tag team division, was like, great, they're gonna split the titles. They're like, no, we're just gonna have, you know, another five teams fight for it. So in that vein, who do you kind of see stepping up to take those five spots in that? Where does the story lend itself?
Did they say there's three from Raw, two from SmackDown?
Right, yeah.
Is that it?
Some of the matches the other day. I'm just looking it up.
Street Profits.
I don't think we're in the
they'll probably have like Grayson Waller, Austin Theory. I mean, I guess they're not doing anything, right?
I would imagine if they're going from SmackDown, you're probably going to be looking at Street Profits and British Strong Style, aka You Catch Public. And then if you're going with the three from Raw, you're going to be going DIY, Awesome Truth, and I don't know, maybe the Creeds, because they haven't done anything for about 6 months.
Well, maybe even Alpha Academy, like if Chad's not.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be a legitimate reason for why he didn't win.
Yeah, I can see that.
Sammy. But you know what, Ken? I have to say, I slightly disagree.
I mean, you've got You've got Creed Brothers, Alpha Academy, mm-hmm. you've got Awesome Truth, you've got Imperium, you've got DIY, you've got New Day.
Mm. Oh, New Day. Mm. I hope it's not Imperium. I could do without them being in it.
Latino World Order.
No.
Nah. What I imagine will happen is if you're saying that there's both teams from Raw and SmackDown in this match,
yeah.
Weirdly enough, what I can imagine happening is so say like it'll be like, I don't know, DIY for Raw and British Strong Style for SmackDown. And I can imagine like, I don't know, Pete Dunne and Johnny Gargano both take a title. Yeah. Like it, that's how the match finishes. They split both them. Rip down yeah. a title at the same moment. Mm-hmm. And what comes from that is they'll just be like, well, you're on SmackDown, split. You're on Raw, you've both got a title each. Titles are split.
I think that's a good shout. It's so easy to do, isn't it, with a ladder match? It's so easy to do it that way. Bit of a cop out, but yeah. it makes sense. And it'll end with on that on WrestleMania night one, I assume, with we don't know who's won. We don't know. We'll check out Raw on Monday to find out what's going on, and then it'll be announced that there's the split.
Yeah, because it'd be perfect. Because you know, after like the Raw after WrestleMania usually has like the winners of whatever mm-hmm. matches. So then I can just imagine you have like the Raw team and the SmackDown team, and then you have Adam Pearce and you have
Nick Aldis, yeah.
Nick Aldis there, and they're just hashing it out, and they're just like, look, you have a tag division, I've got a tag division, you know, let's separate these, you know, just we'll do it amicably. They shake hands, they go off, and then it will be like the Raw winning team will be like, oh, sorry, dude, like we've signed to SmackDown, and they'll walk off with Nick Aldis, and he's like, oh, but just before you go. And then the SmackDown team will go over to Raw, and then he's just like,
yeah. Do we see a future match with those two, the general managers?
Yeah, I could. Yeah,
that'd be decent. Both physically fit.
Yeah.
I don't want to see it.
Yeah, it might not be the prettiest of matches.
You've
but,
never seen
yeah.
that's the thing. You've never seen Adam Pearce wrestle, so that's why you don't want to see it.
Right, let's have a look. So we touched on it earlier in terms of Jimmy and Jay. That's a pretty much a lock-in, right? Yeah. So, what do we think with that build-up? I mean, because I thought it made sense in terms of the build-up. I thought something. I didn't think anything would be on the line particularly. It's just brother versus brother. It's a feud match. Do we expect any kind of a stipulation in the match? Do we think it's going to be like a street fight or anything like that, or is it just going to be a one-on-one?
I can imagine that the stipulation might be something like, if Jimmy wins, Jay has to come back to the bloodline.
Okay.
I imagine it. Because the thing is, again, is if that is a stipulation that happens, I don't ever want to see this happen. But if it was a stipulation and then Jimmy did win, and then Jay has to go back to the bloodline, and then when the main event is taking place, when Jay decides to do whatever he's doing for the sake of helping Cody, he's not going against the bloodline if other members of the bloodline are also Team Cody.
Yeah. So here's a thought. What about in terms of the tag teams? I don't know whether this is something would happen, because obviously Bron Breakker and Baron Corbin are NXT champions. But Bron has signed for SmackDown now.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to have to lose those titles at some point.
Yeah.
Do we see Baron coming back with him and them potentially be part of this tag team six-pack tag team match?
Let's leave Baron Corbin where he is.
I put respect on Baron Corbin now, and I wouldn't have said that a while ago, but his NXT run has been awesome. So
100% one improvement.
That's where he needs to be, isn't it?
That's his level.
Yeah, all right. I heard that new music of his on repeat for ages.
Oh, Lord, Ryan.
Hey, my playlist has been WWE for the last 10 years or something.
Yeah, me
too. Max is crying into his computer. Right, what other kind of match? Do we see any other matches on the road to WrestleMania? Is there any other build-up that we see? Obviously, we're probably end up having some kind of battle royal for the men and women in terms of just getting everybody else on the card. We need something to happen with the Women's Tag Team Championships. Do we see like a big match there? Do we see like an equivalent six-pack ladder match for the women's titles? Or do we think there's a particular feud there?
I don't see a multi-person... I mean, technically, you could see a multi-person match because there is a lot of people who don't have anything to do. The only way I could really see it coming to fruition would be... Hear me out.
Hearing you.
The titles, the you know, Kabuki Warriors versus, like, you know, Kaden and Carr. And then, you know, what's her name? Chelsea and Pippa. Piper.
Chelsea Green and Piper, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and then Bianca and Jade.
Yeah.
Because we haven't seen Jade do anything, but have her come out and you have her come out as a face. You have her and Bianca just dominate every woman in that match. They win the tag titles because, you know, that way you can establish Jade Cargill as like a serious threat. You had her be the only person by herself to eliminate Nia Jax, so you've proven how strong she is. You put her with technically the other strong black woman in WWE. The two of them become tag champions. Then you can just run it for however long you need to run it until you get to the eventual breakup.
Yeah,
and maybe the breakup comes because one of them becomes like a women's champion.
Yeah. How do we get Tiffany Stratton? How do we get like Tiffany Stratton exactly and Bianca Belair? And how do we get them onto the show?
Well, I think you need to team Tiffany with somebody. You need to put a belt on Tiffany because she's on a good run. They're clearly pushing her, but it's just who you team her with for that tag team championship.
Bear with me on this. How about Maxine?
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of like that. Yeah.
I mean, especially after what happened, was it? Yesterday or 2 days ago?
Yeah, I mean, like, that's got to lead to something, and the women's tag titles might be a good way to do it.
Or Candice, because the pushing Candice is a heel, and you know Tiffany's that heel face that everybody loves to hate. So maybe that's where she's going with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but I like Maxine. I like the idea of Maxine. Yeah. I just don't think she's just not very good, is she? Do you know?
But the thing is because of what happened recently with the whole, you know, people booing Maxine when she was on a house show and they were like, oh, you suck. And she just walked off. The same thing happened with Tiffany Stratton. Somebody was like, you suck. And she was like, suck my ass.
My ass, yeah.
She kept walking.
She's so good, though. That's the thing. You saw how good she was technically in the elimination chamber. And it's like, I suppose, I like it from a story perspective, teaming her with Maxine. But is she going to drag? You know, she's great from a promo perspective, Maxine. She is. But technically, she's just not there yet. It's too early. So is it going to drag Tiffany down if you put her with her?
I think there's a perfect way to do it. I think you make it that, for whatever reason, you say maybe you separate Maxine from Alpha Academy and you have it that she's like, well, you know what? I need to learn from someone who's on my level. And then you have her learning from Tiffany.
Yeah.
They're on different shows at the moment, aren't they?
Say again?
They're on different shows at the moment.
Yeah.
They're on different shows. But hey, look, listen, WrestleMania is the perfect time for changes to be made.
I mean, at this point, Naomi hasn't made an impact since she's come back. I would just turn her heel and put her with Stratton.
I think she's going to somehow have some sort of impact on the Bayley match, though. Just with the fact that she was trying to say, you know, do we feel sorry for her? But what about, because they're busy mates now, what about, and you'd have to do some swapping, what about Tiffany and Nia Jax as a tag team?
That'd be entertaining.
Just completely wiping out everybody because that is a powerful tag team. That
and that just reminds me of like Braun Strowman and Ricochet.
Yeah, But yeah. Tiffany, to be fair, I'm sure Tiffany could hold their own. Hold their own on that.
Yeah, I see it. Iris Nier is the next Money in the Bank winner. I think that,
yeah.
That should be unlucky. Isn't it about time we introduced an Intercontinental Women's Championship?
Yeah, we need two mid-card titles. Yeah, we need an IC and a US title and separate brands because there's too much talent there, too much really good talent just doing nothing.
Yeah, I like the idea of that. But I also like the idea of seeing Maxine doing her, not Maxine, sorry, Tiffany doing her like prettiest moonsault ever, doing it off of Nia Jax's shoulders.
Yes, there you go. Yes. There you go, write yourself.
Yeah.
Do that.
Brilliant.
You call it the most irresistible moonsault.
Yes, Neil.
This is why we do this show. Not the WWE watch, but they should. Right, guys, anything else that we want to talk about the road to WrestleMania? Is there any other superstars that you want to talk about, how they might impact the show?
I really want to see this Nick Aldis, Adam Pearce cage match. I've just got that in there.
It's got to be a ladder match. And like a contract in it at the top. It's got to be something like that, right?
You know what? It has to be a recreation. It's got to be that recreation of the Austin versus the McMahons when somebody raises the briefcase. You just have like Nick Aldis clearly winning. And then, I don't know, like you have R-Truth or Tozawa or someone just reeling it up so they can't grab it.
A bit higher, so
Mickey James on a pole match. Adam Page.
I miss the good old days. I miss the good old days when they had, was it? Eric Bischoff and Teddy Long. That's the one.
Yes.
That's the one for me.
Right. Well, I think that pretty much wraps it up for the Road to WrestleMania. Look, there's more stuff being added all the time because I thought by the time we would do this, we wouldn't have much of a card. But it's about it's about 4 weeks away, roughly, isn't it?
Just 4 weeks, pretty much.
Is it four weeks today?
No, 4 weeks. Well, it's 3 weeks on Saturday,
isn't it? Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Exciting stuff. Yeah, 3 weeks on Saturday. Exactly. Mm. So it's not locked to go. So. You know, they're going to establish, obviously, the women's tag matches. We're going to fill in the last entrance of the six-pack ladder match. They'll probably mention about the Battle Royals. Who do we think is going to get kicked to the pre-show? Because there is always someone, isn't there?
Mm.
What do we see happening?
The Andre and May Young Classic.
Yeah,
that's probably going to be the pre-show, right?
Yeah.
Andrade. He's not doing anything else, is he? They're trying to push him. True. But he needs to be at Mania, so...
Sorry, has the Andre the Giant Battle Royal ever been on the main show? Maybe the first year.
The first year they did it when Cesaro won.
Wasn't it on the main show when Bobby Lashley won? And when Baron Corbin won?
I think the Baron Corbin was a free show. Yeah, I think Big Show won.
Lashley advised him on the main show, yeah.
Mm.
When Braun Strowman won, he won. That was on the pre-show when he threw Michael Che and Colin Jost.
Yeah. Didn't we have the greatest battle royal ever in Saudi Arabia as well, didn't
he? Oh, when he won the green title.
The green title, yeah, exactly.
Green title, I missed this. Sounds like I'm...
Yeah, so it was like, was it a 50-man battle?
Yeah, the greatest Royal Rumble ever.
The biggest Royal Rumble ever. And
50-person, and then he got his green title in Saudi Arabia, which amounted to nothing. And
it was better than what you had with Nicholas.
It was the greatest Royal Rumble entrance ever there. Does everyone remember it with Titus O'Neil?
Titus O'Neil, that was beautiful.
Yeah, I wasn't watching it then, but I still saw it.
That was the first pay-per-view Jen had watched in the time difference. And then she went, where did he go?
Well, the rumor is he's still sliding.
Brilliant. I would like to see... You know, the Battle Royal, it could be a shot at a mid-card title if you're going to win it. You know, maybe it's a shot at the Intercontinental or the US or something like that and make it mean something. And it's an opportunity to push something besides Money in the Bank and, you know, give someone to actually use it as part of their story and progression. Because like I say, it's never really amounted to anything whenever it's happened. They mention it maybe a couple of weeks afterwards, but then that's about it.
Yeah, they have it there as well. The Andre the Giant Battle Royal winner, when they've got the trophy and they have it there and like until somebody eventually breaks it over the person who's won it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's have a quick look at the Andre Battle, Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Let's have a look at the winners. So Cesaro was the first, and then we had Big Show, then Baron Corbin, Mojo Rawley, then Matt Hardy, Braun Strowman, Jey Uso, Madcap Moss, and Bobby Lashley.
Jey Uso?
apparently in April 2021.
Okay, he was still part of the bloodline then as well. Hold on.
That's when Jimmy was injured and then they first started calling him main event.
Main event, and Shinsuke was runner-up. Crazy when you look at it. I don't even remember half these wins. I don't remember Matt Hardy winning it or... Yeah, that's bizarre. Right, okay, we'll wrap up there, gentlemen. Thank you very much for your time today. Really appreciate it. As always, it's great fun chatting with WWE. Thank you very much for Nick guesting on today's show. Really appreciate you being here. We'll definitely have you back if you want to come back. So.
Loved it. Really, really enjoyable. Thank you, guys.
Brilliant. Okay, so we're going to do another couple of episodes over the next 2 weeks. So we're going to break down night one and night two of WrestleMania in a little bit more detail. We'll go through the match card, adjust our predictions because anything can happen over the next couple of weeks. In terms of the story and characters. And I think that's partly the reason why we're not getting as many matches with the likes of Cody and stuff like that, because I think they're trying to protect him a little bit to make sure he's not injured. Because they cannot risk that at this point. If he can't finish the story, oh, God, can you imagine? So we'll do our predictions. But then also we'll do how we, obviously, we'll do how we would book it. In terms of how, you know, whether we changed the matches slightly, what we would have liked, but then how we would want it to go based on what we have, but then how we think it will actually go, because they could be very, very different when it comes to WWE.
Yes.
As always, thank you very much for watching and thank you very much for listening. We really appreciate you being here. You can check out the Creative Control, the Squared Circle podcast, the video version on YouTube and Spotify, and you can catch the audio version on every great audio podcast platform. And unless there's anything else, gentlemen, anything from anyone?
Acknowledge me.
Yeah. Thanks very much, guys. And until next time, peace out.
Peace.
Cheers, guys.